This is Kerry Siders with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service in Hockley, Cochran, and Lamb Counties. Well, today is Wednesday, July the 15th. We're partway through July, and we're still in this heat trend, although this morning it was very nice out. Spent normally I scout peanuts on Mondays, but I spent some time with our cotton, our pathologist, and she's also responsible for peanuts. And of course, right now with this heat, we're not seeing much in the way of any disease pressure. We're just kind of keeping an eye on things. But it is probably, you know, a time to start wrapping up any fertility programs. I know we've talked about that on cotton, but even on peanuts, late fertility on peanuts can really encourage disease issues. So before we get too, you know, far into July in terms of the third or fourth week, let's begin to wrap up fertilizer programs if you didn't nodulate properly. Irrigation is really critical. Again, we've talked about this on cotton, but on peanuts right now, you know, we probably have some deep moisture. So we're not necessarily watering the plant so much to grow, even though it is still growing quite a bit vegetatively. But most importantly, or just as importantly, is kind of trying to create that environment in canopy that's conducive for flowering and pegging and pod development. It's got to be a certain amount of humidity to allow it to cool itself. If that soil surface is too hot, that peg will not penetrate the soil and hence develop into a pod. You know, a few years ago, we tried to grow some peanuts on some drip acres, and it produced a beautiful plant, but yields were very poor because watering from underneath didn't really create that environment in canopy. So really, Pivot does a really good job of that. So my point being, we've got to balance out the, you know, the amount of water that we're trying to still grow the plant, but yet be frequent enough that we create that environment in canopy. So if we exceed, you know, more than 6 days frequency, we're probably causing some real losses on the peanut. So, you know, if you can get an inch somewhere in that range every 5 to 6 days, you're okay. If you know, you can't achieve that, then you may have to stretch it out or just go ahead and put a little less while we're still in this heat pattern until it breaks. And then you can slow the pivot down and put a little more. Some of these same principles, of course, apply to cotton, but it's not so much to create that environment, but to make sure that it's is not put under too much undue stress. We'll probably still have some subsoil moisture that it, you know, it's working with, but we need to think about frequency and not just the amount. But on cotton, of course, we're still no doubt growing a plant. This is Kerry Siders. Have a good day.
This is Blaine Reed, IPM agent in Helen Swisher County this week with another IPM update. So, yeah, we have covered quite a few things. We've got cotton mostly going into bloom this week, or where we're actually able to measure note above white flower. A lot of fields coming in that 7 to 9 stage. Of course, we've got those flea hoppers that are still increasing in population, and we've had to treat a few fields. Now, the textbook does say that when you get to a good blooming stage, flea hoppers aren't a pest anymore. In fact, they can become beneficial, but this is kind of dangerous to get these borderline populations, and I think we've got some decisions to make as we look at cotton this next week, especially if these flea hoppers are nymphs and not as mobile as the adults. See, what the flea hoppers are after, a type of protein, and they can get that from the pollen real easier. Their square is kind of hard, so they will tend to go to the flowers. But if our flowers aren't very consistent in the field, and I would say 1 every 4 or 5 feet, they can still be causing a lot of square damage, especially those nymphs just staying in one place and those terminals hitting those younger squares, causing quite a bit of damage there on fruit that we really can't afford to lose. So let's keep that in mind, and you know, keep that threshold about flea hopper about 1 every 1.5 to 2 feet, or that 25 to 35% terminal damage with appropriate square drop. If they're not causing square drop, and you've got blooms that are more consistent, then we are probably past that flea hopper damage stage. In Cotton, that's about all we're seeing. In sorghum, we did get an alert from Lubbock and a few of our crop consultants in Southern Hill County about sugarcane aphid. And surely this morning, west of Cotton Center, we did find just a very small population in some seed milo. It was just one elate or winged aphid with had already given birth to four or five young. But that's all we found in our program. We had another six or seven fields that came back negative. So not a real high population yet. They're just still moving in. We're pretty quiet in our corn as well. Our spider mite population's not getting going very well, but that can change in this heat, especially if it continues without a lot of moisture. So with that, hang on to those predators best we can, and we'll see y'all next week.
This is John Toby and Bailey, Castro and Palmer counties. Starting off with sorghum, we are seeing a little bit of whorl feeding with fall armyworms, but not to the extent where we're going to have serious problems just here and there in the sorghum that I'm scouting. Moving on to cotton, we're sitting at 6 to 10 nodes above white flower, so we are seeing consistent white flowers out here. And cotton flea hoppers on the second and third position. Predators are doing very good this year in the cotton as well as the corn. We've seen a little bit of the cotton square borer and a little bit of feeding damage that could have been done by that. And I'll move it on to corn. We're sitting at silking right now. Spider mite pressure has been moved up a little bit, with the beneficial still being very high and doing very well. The spider mite pressure is starting to take over just a little bit. We do have a few guys spraying for spider mites, and it takes a while for that miticide to kick in and really get going. So guys are kind of getting ahead of the curve in order to stay on top of that.
This is Dagan Teague, IPM major for Floyd and Crosby counties, and we're sitting at some of our fields starting to bloom, and then we're at about 7 to 8 nodes above white flower. And yeah, you still got to look out for flea hoppers, and seeing quite a bit more flea hoppers and lichens. Finding some sugarcane aphids in southwest Crosby County, and as well as some spider mite colonies.
This has been a production of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service Entomology Department here on the High Plains of Texas.